Shalom Aleichem. Today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to learn the sugya on Daf Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Aleph, on the base, Ha'ovu Davodos Kechovim Me'ava U'Meyira. This is a sugya of talking about somebody who worships idols, not because he necessarily believes in the Avodah Zorah, but because he loves the person who believes in the Avodah Zorah, or he's afraid of the person who believes in the Avodah Zorah. So this is really the sugya today, that somebody is worshipping idols for side reasons, not doesn't actually believe in it. Let's see. So Itma over the Avodah Zorahim Me'ava U'Meyira. Abaya Oma Chayav, Rava Oma Potter. Abaya says he is culpable of the death penalty for worshipping the Avodah Zorah, even though he doesn't actually believe in it. Rava says he's not killed for this crime. Abaya Oma Chayav, the Hapalcha. Abaya says he gets the death penalty because he did the act of worshipping the idols. He bowed down, he sacrificed whatever the different services for the Avodah Zorah. Rava Omer Potter, Rava says he's exempt. E kabla eleba lo in elo lo. If he accepted it as an idol, then he is chayev, but if not, he's not chayev. According to Rava, it all depends upon whether he accepted this idol upon himself as a god. let's just see. Rashi says me'ava me'yira me'avas odom me'yiras odom. Either he loves the person who worships the idols, or is afraid of him. Possibly he's afraid that he's going to kill him if he doesn't worship the idols. But even so, we know that one should give up one's life in order not to avoid worshipping idols. So the question here is, the question in the sugya is not whether a person has to give up his life. The question is, if somebody didn't resist the temptation, didn't withstand the trial and didn't give up his life as he should do, but is he then afterwards is he liable to the death penalty for worshipping the Avodah Zorah? Rashi says, "V'lo choshva b'libba ba'alohus." Rashi, he didn't think in his heart that this is a god, the Avodah Zorah. So according to Abai, his chayev, and according to Rava, his potter, and says Rashi, potter bein b'mezid bein b'shog, whether he did it deliberately or whether he did it b'shogi, he didn't realize that one should give up one's life not to worship the Avodah Zorah, even out of fear. So Rava's opinion is that he is exempt. Says Rashi, the lav klum ovad, he didn't do anything. Let's just see quickly Tosfos. Rava Omer Potter. So Tosfos asked the question that you have to give up your life not to worship Avodah Zorah. So Tosfos says the answer we've suggested, the Yeshlem, the Nehida Chayvim Sarat Malachachela, that's for sure that one should give up one's life not to worship Avodah Zorah even when being coerced. But says Tosfos, but according to Rava, if one didn't give up one's life, Rava holds that you don't get killed for doing this idol worship. Now, I found once an interesting and a very important principle that the Tiferes Yisrael, it says it, incidentally, is it talking about a different sugya? But the Tiferes Yisrael is in the Masechet Shabbos, in the second perek. But Boaz Sif Kotan Vov near the end, and he says, Now the question is, there's another Gemara. There's a Gemara on the Fodah Zorah, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. What happens if your money, your coins fell, and you lost your money just in front of the Avodah Zorah? So are you allowed to bend down and pick up your coins? So the Gemara says, no, you shouldn't. You shouldn't bend down because it looks like you're bound down to the idols. But if there's some way that it doesn't look as if you're bound down, so you're allowed to. It doesn't look as if you're bound down to the idols, then it's permitted. So what you see from this Gemara is that really, one is allowed to bend down and pick up your coins. There's only a problem with Maris Ayin, if it looks as if you're worshipping idols. But in principle, when it's not considered to worship idols to bend down. So the question is, why is this not considered as a Avodah Zorah? You are doing the action of bowing down to the idol, even though you're not intending, you're just trying to pick up your coins. So especially according to Abaya, if Abaya says that if you do Avodah Zorah, even though you don't believe in it at all, you're also Chayav Misa, so how come one is allowed to bend down in front of the Avodah Zorah and pick up your money? Why don't we say that it's a psik reisha, even though that you're just intending to get back your money? But it's a psik reisha. It's like the cutting. Can you cut off a chicken's head and the chicken won't die? No, it's inevitable that you're doing an action here of bowing down to the idols. So the Tiferes Yisrael asked this question, and he says that there's Avodah Zorah, there's a special Al-Kachach Avodah Zorah Nami Toli Rat B'Kavanosoi Kesanhedrin Daf Samach Aleph Omad Aleph. Avodah Zorah is all depends on the prohibition of worshipping idols, all depends on a person's intention, and therefore Masha ain't came by Avodah Zorah ain't ishtachol also rat b'miskaven l'Avodah Zorah. So the person who is just intending to pick up his money, he's not doing Avodah Zorah v'rak hakavona asura, and therefore if not for the problem that it looks like you're worshipping Avodah Zorah, but in principle it's just permitted to bend down and pick up your money, because you have no intention to worship the Avodah Zorah. So we see from this Gemara in Avodah Zorah that there's a special rule by Avodah Zorah. You don't say psik resh. You don't say that if somebody's doing one thing and it automatically comes as a result of that he's bowing down to the Avodah Zorah, we do not say that is prohibited, that is considered Avodah Zorah itself. Because Avodah Zorah, it all depends on what the person thinks in his heart, what he intends to accept this as a god. Now the Tiferes Yisrael, he sent us to Sanhedrin Samach Aleph Omad Aleph. That as a proof that it all depends on one's intention. What is his proof? So I think what he is proving it from the Gemara on Omad Aleph. The Gemara says, Elahad Omar Rabbi Elazar Menayin Lezaveich Behema Lamar Kolish Hu Chayev. Now, the Markolis that we had in the Mishnah on Daf Samech Omad Beis, so what this was a kind of idol worship. How did they used to worship it? They used to throw stones. They used to throw something at this Avodah Zorah. In fact, the Gemara also says that there's another way. It's also if one removes the stones from the Avodah Zorah, that's also considered the worshipping of the Markolis. So now the Gemara says, now what about if somebody does the worships the Markolis in an unusual way? He sacrifices a korban for the Markolis. So how do we know that he's chayev? So the Gemara brings a pasuk v'lo yisbech avodas evchehem. The Gemara says that in the end that we're talking about the zoveich lahachis, that someday he's doing two things. He's worshipping the Markolis in the unusual way for a Markolis, but the normal way is to throw stones at it. And here he's making a sacrifice. And in addition to that, he's making a sacrifice not with the intention of honouring the Markolis, but with the intention of anger, of annoying, of angering this Avodah Zorah the Markolis. Even so, he is over the lav. It's a negative transgression of the Torah of worshipping the Markolis. Rashi says, "B'soveich lahachis, v'eino miskaven lekablo olav ba'aloa." He does not intend to accept this as a god. But ashmeinan prada over ba'lav, the pasuk tells us that he transgresses the negative commandments. But the interesting thing that one sees from Rashi that he's not actually chayev misa. It's only a negative transgression. It's not considered as a total avodah zorah. So this seems to be the proof of the Tiferet Yisrael that it depends on what one's kavanah is. Here he did not want really to worship the Markolis. He was sort of spitting in his face. He was saying, like, the normal way of worshipping Markolis is throwing stones, and I'm doing the opposite. I'm not doing the normal way of worshipping. I'm bringing him a sacrificing a korban. So that is not considered the full fledged avodah zorah, because it all depends on a person's kavana. I saw there's a question here. The Chasam Sofer mentions this question. How does this fit in fact with Abaya? Because Abaya said in our sugya that if you worship, even though you're only worshipping Avodah Zorah to save your life because you're afraid of somebody, or you want to flatter somebody, there's somebody who you love, and even though you don't really believe in the Avodah Zorah, Abaya says that you're Chayv Misa. Whereas this Gemara here, which is Rabbi Elazar says that if you don't actually believe in it, you're just trying to annoy the Avodah Zorah, so it's only a lav, you wouldn't be Chayv Misa. So some say that this the sugi over here with Rabbi Elazar is only going according to Rava, that in fact according to Abaya it would be Chayv Misa. I want to suggest a different answer, and this answer is based on another sugi which is also in this week's Daf Yomi. It's on Daf Samach Dalad Amud Alaf. It's a similar sort of Gemara. The Gemara says, "Habher atzmelo balpor." So the balpor is also another weird sort of avodah zorah, and the way of worshipping it is to excrete in front of the avodah zorah. So the Gemara says, if somebody does it, how is that avodah soy? Afal gavda mekaven lebizol. This is the way of worshipping the par. Even though the person has an intention to despise the Avodah Zorah. So says Tosas, what does that mean? It means that one is trying to do the worship, to do the avoda in that way, because that is that's the way of worshiping the Pa'ar, by worshiping it in the way that despises the Pa'ar. But Tosa says the e lo mekaven ena levazos. But if he is not trying to worship it, he's just trying to disgrace the Pa'ar. So says Tosas, no, he wouldn't be chayiv mis for doing such a thing. Why? I feel over me'ava or me'yera potel rova. Even if one does the normal way of worshipping the idols, but only out of fear of one's life, for instance, so according to Rava, is exempt. And says, but I feel that Abaye mechayev, even according to Abaye, who says that you are chayev misa, if you do it out of fear, hosam hacha hakol moda depotah, hacha moda depotah. Abaye agrees that he's exempt with the Pa'ar when he disgraces the Pa'ar. So what's Tosas for? Because again, even a buyer agrees that if a person is doing the exact opposite of really worshipping a Buddha's order, and they're not intending to do the worship, they're just intending to despise and to be mavaza the Avodah Zorah. So even a buyer says that he's potter. And so that's the same thing on Daf Samachalaf and Madalaf. If he just wants to anger the Markolis in this case, so then even a buyer will agree that he's exempt because he's not he doesn't have any kavona for Avodah Zorah at all. Again, so this is what the Tiferet Israel tells us, that they have this rule of Avodah Zorah. It all depends on a person's, whether a person believes in it. It's not called Chayv Misa for Avodah Zorah if without the belief. And that's the way we pass them like Rava. Now, there's a very interesting response in the Tshuvas Maharit. I didn't find this. The Chasam Sofer in our sugya mentions this Maharit. The Maharit was the son of the Mabit, and who was a contemporary of the Rabbi Yosef Karo. So I suppose we're talking about in the close to 500 years ago, 450 years ago. So he had a question like this. There was a certain person, Reuven, in his hometown. Everyone looked upon Reuven as a good person, a respected person, who everything he did was straight and respected and believed in Hashem. He was a good Jew. But suddenly this Reuven, he comes in front of the Beis Din, and he tells them, and he's asking the Beis Din, how can you do tshuva? He tells him he did all sorts of terrible avarice against of the Torah. For 2 years he did all sorts of terrible things. And then he says, the Maharit says, and then the third year, what did it, Shonot Shlishis, the third year, so Kofa Be'ikah, he denied the existence of Hashem. Velo Hinech Avodah Zorah Shelo Avda. There was no idol worship, all different idol worship. He did it all. And then he comes in front of the Beis Din, and he wants the Beis Din to tell him how can he now he regrets all what he did, and he wants help from the rabbis, how he is going to do tshuva. And It seems that the Beis Din didn't weren't sure what to answer him, so they sent the question to the Maharit. How can this person make amends for all the terrible things that he did, which included worshipping Avodah Zarah? Now, a bit later on in the tshuva, the Maharit says like this. Ela kafi ma she'ani mevi mitoch ha'she'ela. He says, I understand from the question. She'odim zahoyu nistorim ma'asov. Ve'ein shum odim she'ya'oid olav al shum dovo me'ed vorm she'od. This person, it was all done in secret. There's no witness at all. Everyone thought he was a good Jew. There's no evidence at all that he did all these things, only what the person admitted himself. So therefore the Maharit says that this means that there's a way of looking at this case in a somewhat more lenient light. Why? It was all done in darkness and secret. He went to the idol worshipping cities. He disguised himself, dressed up or whatever, as one of the idol worships, and he did what they did. Now, for Eshenami, it could be the Masha Hemer Das. He converted to their religion, the Ovid of Zorah, worship the idols, Lo Shehodebo. He didn't really agree to the idol worship. The Lo Shekibla Olav La'Eloa. He did not accept the idols as a god. Ela Mumala Tayogin Hoya. This person who was worshipping the idols, he was doing it just not out of belief in the idols, but he he must have wanted to do other transgressions, and that's why he decided to make himself look like one of the idol worshippers so that he could do the other transgressions which he had a Yitzhahara to do. Now the Maharit mentions the Gemara, which is actually on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Yodim Hoy Israel She'avodah Zorah Ein Bo Mamosh. Klal Israel always knew that the idol worship, there's nothing in it. It's a load of nonsense. V'lo Avdu Ela Lahat Elohim Arayis Befar Hashem. Why did they worship idols? It wasn't because they really believed in it, but they wanted an excuse. That they wanted to have these forbidden relationships, so that's why they worshipped idols, to be able to justify the evil impulse for the arise. This is, of course, this is the Gemara on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Rashi says that. The Hatter Alahem Arayas Befer Hashem Shehoi Ritz and Tokfan Alarayas. They had a big evil impulse for the Arayas. Omru Nifrik Kol Ol Torah Me'aleinu. He said, so we'll cast off the yoke of Torah. Va'al Yochifu Alarayas. If we tell people, if people are going to admonish us for these Osins, well, we say, no, we don't believe in it at all. But Aval Al Avodah Zorah Chofim Lo Tok Fiyatzim, but they didn't really have a Yetzer Hara to do the Avodah Zorah. The Gemara afterwards says, the Gemara asks some questions on this, and the Gemara says that was all one to start off with. But the Gemara answers, Bosota Avikube, after they became very close and very like addicted, I suppose one can say, to the Avodah Zorah, then it got worse, and then they did actually start to believe in it. Rashi says at on the bottom of Samach Gimel on base, Ahashin is Kashkar Boma Atzmon, after they got connected up with the Avodah Zorah, top 50 bottom 11. Then they did start to have this, they started to love the Avodah Zarah. This is what happened in the time of the first temple, the first base of Mikdash, that's why they got involved. It's the involvement with the Avodah Zarah started just as an excuse to permit for them to think that they were permitted to the Arias, but in the end they actually got they started believing, they started getting a connection with the Avodah Zarah itself. So the Maharit says that but this person in the case that he was asked about, he argues, the Maharit argues that it can't be that he was Ovik, that he got tied up with it. How do we know that it can't be that it was Ovik? Because he brings a Gemara. This is in the Avodah Zarah Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says there, Kol Ba'eha Lo Yishuvim. Anyone who goes to Avodah Zarah, he'll never come back. And the Gemara says that mentions a case, and the Gemara says that that if a person, Rashi explains there that Kol Hamishtan on Avodah Zarah, anyone who changes their religion and starts and does Avodah Zarah, Acha Shenakav Minas, once they get attached to this, Einan Shovim, he won't return. V'im Shovim Maharon Lomos B'Toch Tzara U'Kfirs Yitzron. If he does do tshuva, then he will die quickly. Out of the sorrow, the distress, and also out of the fact that a person has to fight against his Yetzer Hara all the time, a person won't have the strength to do that, and the person will die straight away. So this person, in the case of the Maharit, we see that he didn't die straight away. And again, we see that he came back. And we also, from the fact that we see that he did not want to do this his crimes in public, so this again suggests that he is he never really believed in it. He only did it in the first place for side reasons. Let's just see again the way the Maharit explains the Gemara on Daf Samech Gimel Amud Beis. That the Maharit says that it's called Velo Shekibla Olav Le'Eloah. He didn't actually accept this as a god. In the same way that the Gemara says that Yodim Hoy Israel She'in Bo Avodah Zarah Ein Bo Mamash, that the Klal Israel always knew that there's nothing in Avodah Zarah. So this suggests that the Maharit is understanding that when Klal Israel started off worshipping Avodah Zarah, they didn't actually accept it as in Avodah Zarah. let's ask another question on this, which is a big chiddush what the Maharit is saying, the Maharit admits that when they were Ovik, where they really got tied up with it, then they did accept the Avodah Zarah, but to start off with, they didn't even accept it as the Avodah Zarah. I have a question on this from another Gemara on Samech Gimel Amud Aleph, and there the Gemara talks about the Cheta Eagle, the worship the eagle. there's a dispute there in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan says that they worshipped Hashem, but they also worshipped these Avodah Zorah. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says that can't be, because if you worship Hashem together with the Shutfus, with the partnership of other Avodah Zorah, so that a person is also uprooted from the world for doing that. So it says Asher Ha'elucha, that in the plural form, that these gods that brought you up from Mitzrayim, what does that mean? So says Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, She'ivu Elohus Harbe, they have a desire for many gods, many Avodah Zorah, and Rashi says, She'ivu Elohus Harbe, Afla Elohus Acherim, they, it wasn't just one Avodah Zorah, it was lots of different gods that they had this desire, this taiva for. The Kiblu Aleihem, Rashi says that they did right from the start, it seems, right from the start, when they worshipped the Egel, they accepted it upon themselves as an Avodah Zorah. So that seems to be this Rashi seems to contradict the Maharit, because the Maharit seems to say that when the Gemara on Amud Beis says that that Klal Yisrael only did the Avodah Zorah for a side reason, that means that they didn't accept it as a god. Rashi says that they did. The only solution I have for this question really is to say that the Maharit is only going with the other opinion on the Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, that they didn't actually accept the other Avodah Zorah. They only accepted Hashem, and possibly they felt that there were different forces that also exist in the world, but the Maharit can only be going according to the Acheis, the first opinion that Rabbi Yochanan and the Acherim on Amud Aleph. So that's what we do certainly see from the Maharit, is that this concept that Avodah Zorah, it all depends on a person's belief and a person's intentions. Let's ask another question on the Gemara that Klal Yisrael only didn't really, to start off with, didn't really believe in the Avodah Zorah. They just wanted to, as a way of trying to feel that they were committed to the Arayas. The Mahashah on Samach Gimel Amud Beis asks a question from a well-known Gemara, which is near the end of the Masechta, on Kuf Beis Amud Beis, when Rav, there we talk about that the king Manasseh did not have a chelik, did not get his part in Olam Haba. So the Gemara says that Rav Ashi, when he taught about the Mishnah in Yeshiva, so he called Manasseh, he called him our friend. It's like he considered him as Manasseh. He knew that he was a Talmid Chacham, but Rav Ashi thought to start off with that he was on a similar sort of level in his Torah stature as Rav Ashi. So the Gemara says that that night Manasseh came to the king. Manasseh came to Rav Ashi in a dream, and he asked him a question in the halachas of when you make hamotzi. So where do you cut the bread from? And the Rav Ashi didn't know the answer. So Manasseh, he pointed out to Rav Ashi that he's not his friend, that he was much greater. Actually, Manasseh HaMelech was a greater Talmid Chacham than Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi asked him, so if you're so clever, you're so wise, so why did you worship the idols? He saw that he was such a great Torah giant. So why did you worship idols? So Manasseh answered him, if you would have been there, where at that time the pull, the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was so great that you would also have lifted up your jacket and and you would have been running after Avodah Zarah with all the rest of us. So ask the Marsha that so you see from there that they did actually believe in the Avodah Zarah. You see that Manasseh is telling us that that at that time they did believe in the Avodah Zarah. So the Marsha answers that like the Gemara itself says on Samech Gimel Amud Beis, that after Bosa the Aviku Bay, after they got very attached to the Avodah Zarah, then they did believe in the Avodah Zarah. But I have a question on the Marsha, and my question is like this: that the Gemara we saw on the Avodah Zarah, that Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Rashi explains it, that anyone who converts to Avodah Zarah after he got very connected and it was really ingrained in him, he'll never do tshuva. Or Rashi says, if he does do tshuva, he will die very soon afterwards. So my question is that the Gemara says on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, there's an opinion there, Tana Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, Menashe also tshuva shloshim v'sholosh shonim. He did do tshuva, and he lived 33 years afterwards, and kept the Torah, and he didn't worship Avodah Zarah. So, how could that be? We're saying Menashe, he was tied up to Avodah Zarah, and Rashi says, that if somebody was avikuba, it's not possible, it's not physically possible to do tshuva and live. How can it be that the Gemara says that Manasseh lived for 33 years after he did tshuva? So the suggestion I have here to answer this, to solve this problem, it would just to say again, as we noticed, as we saw in the Gemara, that Manasseh was a very great Talmud Chacham. So it could be that this rule that Rashi spells out for us, that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Rashi spell out for us, that it's not possible to do Avodah Zarah, that's only talking about somebody who is not a great Talmud Chacham. Somebody who was on the same stature, that had the Torah knowledge of Manasseh, he could survive. Why do I say that? Because Rashi says that if im shovim maharim lomos mitok tzora ukfis yitzron, that if a person do tshuva, then they would die very quickly, because they're always having to control the yetzer hara. And that a person wouldn't have the physical strength to do that once if he was so involved in the Avodah Zarah. What I want to say is that that's only if somebody is a very big Talmud Chacham, then he has the strength, he has the Torah to help him, he's able to conquer his Yetzer Hara, even though he was very involved in the Avodah Zarah. But once he does tshuva, then he has the Torah to help him, this helps him to, he knows how he has to live now, because he knows what the Torah wants from him, and it's possible for this person to come back to the right way and conquer his Yetzer Hara. I have another possible teretz also on this question. And this is based on the end of that Rashi in Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Rashi says, "V'zu zeiris melech aleihim lomos." It's a special Zeri Min HaShemayim. It's a decree that a person, because he was so far into Avodah Zorah, then he must die. Possibly, this decree from heaven does not apply to Menashe. Why? Because the Gemara says, Omra on Kuf Gimel Amud Alef, Omra B'Yochan Kola Omer Menashe Einu Chelit Olam Haba Mar P'Yedeim Shel Ba'alei Tshuva. Anyone who says that Menashe will not go to Olam Haba, so he is weakening the hands of people that do tshuva, because people will think it's not worth doing tshuva because Hashem won't accept him, won't accept the repentance. The fact that Menashe, we see that he did, his tshuva was accepted, even though he did all these terrible sins against the Shemin, and he led the whole of, because he was such a great person, and he was the king, and he was also a great Talmid Chacham, and so he pulled all the people, the Malchus Yisrael, Am Yisrael, pulled them all down with him to worship Avodah Zorah. Even so, we see that he did tshuva, and he was accepted, and he lived for another 33 years. So, in this was possibly in the gzeira that Rashi says is normally applies for somebody who was very much connected to Avodah Zorah. For Menashe, this decree did not apply because Hashem wanted to make a special case of Menashe to show the power of tshuva, how someone can do tshuva and save himself and save the rest of Klal Yisrael, the rest of the world, because as we saw, this is really what we've been saying in the Shia, that the real problem with the Avodah Zorah, the real prohibition, is the main thing is that one shouldn't believe it. If at the end of his life he went back and he believed in Hashem, then Hashem saved him. Hashem accepted the tshuva, even on the greatest, even on the most serious prohibitions.